we had talked about having a great start to the game, because usually they jump on us and they jump on everybody else. We had a great start to it. We'd said if they can't stop us, which happened last year, they're going to go zone. We knew it was going to happen, you know, but we got very tentative. I didn't think we were aggressive. We didn't attack the zone, but we did have a good finish to the half, and it gave us a chance, got us within three, and then a good start, 13-5, I think, that early stretch, got the lead, and then we just said it's a fight, it's a battle. You got to continue to stand up and battle and attack them, and we were much more aggressive, got it into the zone, took it to the hoop, made them get out of the zone, and, you know, probably the difference in the game.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. We continue with our breakdown of the Sunflower Showdown from last night in Bramlage in Manhattan. K-State knocking off number 13 Kansas 74-67. Here to talk about it is a former K-State basketball player himself, played from 02 to 06, played under Coach Wooldridge, Skylar Thomas. How you doing, Skylar?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you, Abe?
Well, not too bad. You know, I was thinking about this after you and I worked together for that Lehigh K-State game, which, of course, I think it's safe to say you and I can brag that K-State is undefeated when you and I call K-State games this year, right?
100%. 100%. We got to get in and do a few more then.
There you go. There you go. They didn't need us last night, though, as K-State takes care of business. But you were part of that team that won in Lawrence, weren't you, with Jim Wooldridge, and nobody saw that one coming?
Yes, we were. I don't even know if we saw that coming. You know, we prepared and we were ready to play, and we didn't have a great first half that night, but turned it on in the second half and got a big W. And the guys last night obviously didn't wait that long. As soon as the ball was tossed up, they were ready to play. The atmosphere was crazy. I was watching it on television and had goosebumps almost the entire game.
What were your overall impressions of the game in general? What stood out to you after the game was over and you kind of decompressed and enjoyed the win? What stood out to you?
So there was a couple of things. One, you know, again, just getting out to a quick start, I think that is so important. And they did that both in the first and the second half, where they got out, they were ready to play, they had a good game plan, and they stuck to it. Secondly, this was one of the first times I think I saw the Wildcats truly make in-game adjustments. The zone stifled them for the second part of the first half, and Kansas started to get into a rhythm, and it was starting to look like the same old song. And you saw Coach Weber make the adjustment, and you saw the guys execute it on the floor. And I think that's huge for them to be able to accomplish that against KU, but also just for their confidence going forward that, hey, we can make these in-game adjustments, and that we are who we think we are.
You know, there are a couple of things that stood out to me as well, and that is that I didn't think K-State played that great last night, and they still won, which is
right.
A terrific sign for K-State moving forward, because, you know, defensively, they forced KU into 23 turnovers. KU shoots 7 of 20 of 3. K-State made 10 threes, which was big, especially against that zone. Jada Sneed making some big threes down the stretch. But when I look at it, you know, they had foul trouble. Maween only played 9 minutes last night, and yet they were still able to beat Kansas, and it didn't come to the final shot. We were talking about this earlier before we had you on. I'd love to get your input on it, and that is that I think some K-State fans don't fully appreciate how good Kansas State is defensively. And there's been a lot of talk and arguing about, well, the Super Bowl was boring, and people that love defense will say it wasn't boring. I loved it. It was finally defense, not a lot of offense. Listen, I want more offense than 13-3. I'm a Chiefs fan. I will take a 13-3 Chiefs win in the Super Bowl. I'll take boring so they hold the Lombardi trophy up at the end of the day. I'm cool with that. I think some K-State fans, you get into this defensive type of thing, and you're like, well, that's not sexy. And you overlook the defense and how good they are defensively because they've struggled against a zone or they struggle shooting threes. Does that make sense?
No, it makes a lot of sense, and I'd certainly have to agree with you on that. I think a team with an identity is a team that's always going to have a shot to win, and Kansas State has a strong defensive identity. You know, they've been holding teams to under 60 points, pretty much all season, and it's not the prettiest game to watch, as you mentioned, but they've consistently done it. And when you lose a game to Tulsa and you only score, I think, 46 points, the wheels are going to start to turn in your brain and think, hey, this isn't a very good team. But if you look at, you know, the course of the Big 12 play here, they've won 7 straight Big 12 games. They've been stifling on defense. They've been taking people out of what they want to do. And they've been winning games. Ultimately, the most important stat is, do you have more points than the other team at the end of the game? And Kansas State has been doing that. I think it's a different style of basketball than, you know, kind of what today's day and age is used to with, you know, teams like the Golden State Warriors in the NBA and you know, the Dukes of the world, where they're putting up a lot of points each night. But, you know, you just have to have your own identity, and you have to execute on that. And I think Kansas State has done a great job of that over the course of Big 12 play. And this is the most important time of the year to be playing your best basketball. And so they're executing that defensively. And then offensively, you know, one of the things that also stood out to me last night was that everybody, you know, stepped up when they needed to. You had Cartier Jada coming off the bench, you know, playing amazing. Xavier Sneed looked like the Xavier Sneed from the NCAA tournament last year, where he was just all over the floor. He was playing excellent on defense. He was crashing the boards, almost got a throwback dunk on a free throw, which is almost unheard of, and knocking down threes. You saw everybody chipping in and doing their job. And I think if the Wildcats can do that offensively, you know, if we're going to rely on Dean Wade or Barry Brown to have to score 25 or 30 points a night, that's not the style of basketball that Kansas State plays. But if you can get four guys in double digits and you're scoring in transition and, you know, you're taking the other team out of what they want to do, this is a team that can have a similar, you know, similar success to the team of last year.
We're talking to Skylar Thomas, played for Kansas State from 2002 to 2006, a member of that K-State team under Jim Olders, went in the Lawrence and beat the Jayhawks that year. What's interesting to me about the matchup last night, and I understand some K-State fans not giving their team a lot of a chance because, well, you know, we usually lose to Kansas. But if you just forgot who was playing, Kansas or Kansas State, and you did the scouting report and you looked at both teams and you had to pick a winner, to me it was fairly easy that you'd lean towards Kansas State. They're playing on their home floor. They are healthier than Kansas is going in, and that's not to make excuse for Kansas. That's part of the game. But the bigger thing to me is they're experienced. They have leaders on the floor. The thing that stuck out like a sore thumb last night to me, and when I watch KU throughout the season, and I watch KU and K-State because I have to in order to host this show and talk about it, is Kansas doesn't have any leadership on the floor. And the one senior that they have was benched last night. Kansas, I'll ask you this, your input from the outside looking in. What were your impressions of Kansas last night? Because they seem to have a lot of issues, especially with no leadership, especially in crunch time.
Yeah, it is a very different look Jayhawk team this year. And they usually have a senior-laden guard or an experienced guard that everybody can kind of rally around. And, you know, you've seen it from Devontae Graham, Frank Mason, and, you know, you can go back as far as you want. And I think Devon Dotson is an incredible player. I think he is going to be a very scary person for the Wildcats for years to come. But, you know, he's still kind of figuring it out and you know, still, you know, taking a back seat to some of the, you know, some of the seniors, and those seniors aren't delivering. You know, LeGerald Vick, you mentioned, you know, bench to start the second half. I think Dietrich Lawson obviously is, you know, one of the top candidates for Big 12 Player of the Year, but you can tell his demeanor and his personality doesn't seem to be that of a of a vocal leader, but just somebody that goes out there and executes. And yeah, you're looking at a team that is kind of searching for their identity. You know, I think without Udoka Azubuike, that changes the scope of what they do offensively. It's a team that is still kind of searching for who they are in February, which is very rare for a Bill Self team. Usually they'll take an L in December or lose a game in January. You know, they'll take a loss to maybe Iowa State or West Virginia on the road or something like that. But usually by the time February rolls around, this is a team that is gelled, that is, you know, executing on all cylinders and is just a, you know, almost an impossible team to beat. And they don't look invincible this year, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But it's not for lack of talent. Even without, you know, Azubuike, even without, you know, Silvio De Souza, who hasn't played all year, so I don't think he should continually be factored into that.
Yes.
But without Marcus Garrett, they're still talented. They have McCormick, a McDonald's All-American, sitting on the bench. So, you know, it's just a team without an identity, a team with a lack of leadership. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of worried people that wear the crimson and blue. But, you know, it's still Kansas. It's still Bill Self. And You know, sometimes a loss like this is enough to catalyze that group and get them playing. So I would anticipate that matchup later in February in Allen Fieldhouse to be a dogfight, and I would anticipate for us to see the Kansas that we saw on Saturday against Texas Tech. Going forward, but Bramlage was rocking last night, and I'm biased, obviously, but I don't know if there's a more challenging place to play in the Big 12. I think Allen is obviously up there, and it's got the allure, the history, and all of that. But outside of Allen Fieldhouse, I think Bramlage is extremely loud. The fans are amazing, and when the team's playing, when Kansas State is playing defense like that, and they can feed off of that crowd, it's a very difficult place to play.
Well, and I would implore K-State fans that you need to pack the house every night, not just for Kansas. Pack every night because you have a team that's in first place in the Big 12 who could be the team that stops KU's streak, which right now is sitting at 14 and counting in the Big 12. Now, be honest with me, Skyler. Less than a month ago, January the 9th, K-State was hosting West Virginia. They were down 21, I believe it was, in the second half. What were you thinking at that point in time?
So you want me to be honest?
Yes.
At that point in time, I was thinking, I don't know if this team's going to make the NCAA tournament this year.
Yep.
That was where my mind was. After losing to Texas at home, losing to Texas Tech on the road, and then down to West Virginia, and Dean Wade's return was still kind of pending when he was going to come back. And I was like, this is going to be a very tough January. And I'm hoping this team can recover. And they did. They did it without Dean Wade. They did the things necessary to win that game that night and then string along now seven in a row in Big 12 play. And Dean Wade has come back and just found his way back into the back into the rhythm of the team. So it's been impressive, and this is what we've known the team could do all along this season with the talent that they've had, with the experience that they have, and it's finally, I think, kind of coming together. The trick now is how do you play when that bullseye is on your back?
Yeah.
And I think that's where Kansas State has struggled, to kind of start the season. And some of it was just offensive struggles, but when you are now the hunted, when you are in first place or when the expectations are raised, how do you perform? They've got two road games coming up. I believe going down to Baylor on Saturday and at Texas. How do you play in those road games now that you come off a big win, you're in first place, people are starting to think, hey, you're the team that's going to end KU's streak. Can you be consistent? Can you play with that same energy that you did, and can you execute? Is it just going to be we're going to revert back to, hoping that Dean Wade can turn it on or Barry Brown can turn it on, or is everybody going to continue to step up and just have that momentum going into the end of the season and going into March?
It's amazing in the span of 27 to 28 days, and I'm with you. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, is K-State even going to get the 500 in the Big 12? Will they make the NCAA tournament? And less than a month later, now we're talking, can this team make a run to the Elite Eight, make it to the Final Four? This team's going to now win the Big 12 at NKU streak. And so we got to be careful because we were all probably a little too low, obviously, at that point, probably rightfully so, when they're down 21 at home to West Virginia and 0-2 in conference. But to get too high after beating Kansas last night and you sit atop the Big 12 at 7-2, and that's the balancing act, isn't it, Skyler, as an athlete yourself and you played at K-State, the highs and the lows? Okay, you win in Lawrence against KU. All right, how do you propel yourself into something even better? Or are you satisfied? Is that the highlight of your year, or is there more to come?
Right, 100%. And this is something that, if we, again, look down the road to Lawrence, this is something that Kansas has done so well, so consistently for every year, is that they take the game at hand and they execute, they go out and win, they win the games they're supposed to win, and they do it every night. So, now with Kansas State, it's that same balancing act as you referenced, where, okay, you've got a big win, you can start to get ahead of yourself and think, like, man, we can win the Big 12, we can end, KU's streak, like, how great would that be if we're the team that ends it because we're in the same state, that's our rival. You got to kind of take some of that out of your head, be excited, celebrate the win, because that's important. You play the game because you love it, because you're a competitor and you want to compete. So be happy, that's great. But, you know, now, you know, this afternoon they'll get back to practice. They'll focus on the next game at hand. You just have to, you know, keep executing, keep winning, and you know, we'll see where we're at the end of the road. But it is definitely a balancing act, and I'll be very interested and certainly tuned in on Saturday to see how they're, you know, where their heads are at and see how they're performing.
All right, simple question: is K-State the team to beat now in the Big 12?
So yes, I would say they're tied. I think Iowa State is from the games that I've watched of the Cyclones play, they are probably, I think, the scariest team in my mind, because they are the opposite side of the spectrum from Kansas State, where offensively they can light it up and you know, they're an exciting team to watch. But I think the statement last night of beating KU, you know, and that's big, but more so of putting KU at 6-4 and putting yourself two games ahead of them in the Big 12 and putting you all alone at the top, I think that does put K-State, you know, at the top, and again, puts that bullseye on their back.
If K-State wins at Waco Saturday, I think a lot of people will be jumping on the K-State wagon to say they're the team to beat. But I'm with you. If I'm KU or K-State, I'm more worried about Iowa State than I am Baylor or Texas Tech or Texas. That's just my opinion. All right, time for a couple off-the-wall questions for you to close out the interview, Skylar. Skylar Thomas is with us. He has filled in and done some K-State games in the past, and he also played at K-State from 02 to 06. Best memory as a K-State player, would it be that win at Lawrence, or is there something else that stands out when I ask you that question?
Well, yeah, that's an easy one. That Lawrence win was huge, and it was – you know, for me, it was huge because of who I was in my career. You know, I was a role player guy. You know, there was games that, you know, that I would play minutes in. There'd go stretches of games where I wouldn't play. But I understood that. You know, I understood, you know, what my responsibility was. And, you know, just winning in Allen Fieldhouse is huge. But the fact that I got to be a part of that and, you know, and contribute on the floor was, you know, was a huge moment for me, and one that I'll still get, you know, a stranger coming up to me and saying, you know, hey, thank you for, you know, thank you for January 2006. And that's a lot of fun. And you know, that means a lot. So easy one there. But honestly, just playing Division I basketball, playing in the Big 12, you know, was a joy for me.
All right. Oddest or silliest story you can share that's clean about your time as a K-State basketball player?
Well, this is also kind of an easy one. My freshman year, we were, you know, average, I think maybe eighth place in the Big 12. This is when we had 12 teams, and we're playing Colorado down in Dallas in the Big 12 tournament, and we are 100% sure we are going to win the game, and we get a steal on an inbounds with maybe 5 seconds to go. Purvis Pasco,
I
think you might know where I'm going with this one.
Yes,
gets the steal and you know, starts running with the ball, and the refs call travel, and you know, Colorado gets the ball back and throws a Hail Mary bank in to win the game, and the Buffaloes run past our bench on their way into the locker room, and all of our jaws are dropped. That to this day is probably the oddest thing that I've been a part of as a basketball player, and you know, and it sucks because, you know, Purvis Pasco was a guy that you know, that played hard, and you know, and we earned that win, and to, you know, to kind of have a Chris Webber-esque type of an experience at the end of a game, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No. Okay, time, final one for you, Skylar. Did you watch Super Bowl 53?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
All right. So I want you to be a professor now. I want you to give me your grade A to F on three things. One, the game itself. Would you give it A, B, C, D, E, or F and Y? I guess there wouldn't be an E, but whatever.
I would give the game probably a C, maybe a C plus.
Okay. Gotcha.
And I would say Y just because it was you know, I was disappointed in, you know, kind of some of the Rams' execution. You know, they're this exciting team. McVay is this, you know, this genius offensive mind, and you know, Todd Gurley is this amazing, you know, running back who's led the NFL in rushing, or not in rushing, but in touchdowns scored. And you just, you know, I was expecting more out of that. I was actually in Los Angeles with a buddy of mine for a Super Bowl party out there. And so there was just a big letdown with the performance of the Rams.
I agree with you there. Halftime show. How would you grade the halftime show? We got to see Adam Levine, his nipples and tattoos.
Well, you know, with some of the, I'm guessing, CGI or extra stuff, I thought that was a little over the top. But at the Super Bowl party I was at, there were a lot of women there that were into the game that also did not mind the halftime show. So, you know, I guess I'd grade the halftime show a B just because the group that I was with was pretty excited about it. So anytime there's atmosphere, you know, I'm on board with it.
All right. Grade the commercials as a whole, A through F.
So I didn't actually get to hear the commercials. It was loud where I was at, and so I didn't actually get to, I didn't do my homework on the commercials. So I guess I get an F on that one.
That's one thing about Super Bowl parties, and I've hosted one for a long time. This year was the first time I didn't have one for a while because I just couldn't get into the game because my Chiefs lost to the Patriots. And I'm tired of the Patriots being the Super Bowl. But when you don't host a party, then you hear everything. And you actually get to enjoy the commercials. And when I've had the Super Bowl parties in the past for the show the very next day on a Monday morning, I got to go back and pull it up online and watch all the commercials because I don't know what they said, like you said, and for me to actually know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, whoa, I don't even remember those five commercials that aired during the Super Bowl. I mean, there's probably many reasons why I don't remember that, but you know my point. You do miss out. Like, the party's great, and you have a great time with your buddies and friends, but you also miss out on some of what actually is being said and this and that. So,
right, 100%, 100%. So, yeah, I need to go back and watch some of those because I'm sure there were some good ones. And, you know, usually Bud Light does a great job, or Doritos, or – you know, Geico or some, you know, those guys that are, those commercials are great all time of year. They usually do a good job. So I need to go back just for my own enjoyment and take care of that.
That sounds good. Well, hey, man, we appreciate the time and enjoyed getting to meet you and work with you during that K-State game earlier this season. And I'm sure we'll talk to you down the line and talk some more K-State hoops because right now K-State, if they win out, obviously, would be the Big 12 champions. That'd be quite the story, ending KU's streak.
It'd be an excellent story. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to another conversation in the future, and let's go Cats.
All right. Thanks, Skyler. Skyler Thomas, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.